Hello and welcome to yet another episode of The Week on Dalal Street, a weekly podcast on the stock market where we look back at the major action and key trends during the week and also what to keep an eye out for in the week ahead. I'm Santosh Nair and with me is CNBC TV 18 stocks editor Anuj Singhal. Anuj, welcome as always.
Santosh, good to be back here. It's something that I enjoy and look forward to every Friday.
Same here, Anuj. Well, much has happened since our chat last week at the Jackson Hole Symposium. The Fed made it clear that bringing down inflation at any cost is the priority, and that has rattled markets in the US and Europe. But interestingly, India has not done too badly in comparison, and this despite the dollar index making a new high as well.
Yes, and I think in that lies my big worry that, you know, whether the market here is being too cocky about, you know, the decoupling and the fact that, you know, we are going to move in a completely different direction. Look, Santosh, it's possible and it's probable that the markets decouple in some sense. But if the US market has to decline, say, 15% or so, I'm not saying it does, but if it has to, there's no way that our market will be unscathed because of that. There's a bit of a lag, but the markets follow. I think what the US market really didn't like was the tone of the Fed chair and the fact that he had to invoke the 1980s or the 70s to 80s period, right? Which was really the worst period, right? In terms of inflation, bond yields had at that point peaked at 20% in the US. You'll remember that. So obviously, there's a bit of a fear factor. And the global bond market, for first time in 40 years, is in some kind of a bear market. That was a Bloomberg study that I read and I found it quite fascinating. So the dollar index is hitting 110. There's a
view, almost a 20-year high.
It's a 20-year high, and there's a view that if it doesn't stop at 110, it straight away goes to 118. So now we have been insulated because for some reason we've been getting a lot of FI inflows, but that was because, you know, there was some momentum in our market. That momentum got stalled a bit this week. So I think over the next few days, there's some interesting data lined up from the US. I think that's something that we'll keep an eye on, especially the jobs data and all that data that would come out in the US going forward, and the September rate hike, because the market believes this is going to be another 75 basis point rate hike. But, you know, what next? I think we are in for a fascinating month of October. I'll tell you, anecdotally, September and October have really been treacherous months for the market, especially if you already had a bit of a summer rally after the May decline. I think stars are aligning for that. Maybe another treacherous October.
Anuj, in particular, if you look at the mid and small cap space, you seem to get a feeling that the investors are either blissfully unaware of the turmoil in global markets or are confident that global developments don't matter at all.
I think it's the money, Santosh, because what's happened is that a lot of money, especially from the HNI and retail, has sort of stuck with the market. And despite all that FI exodus that you saw, the retail didn't really panic in India. And you saw how just a little bit of FI buying sort of brought the sentiment back. And I think the sense that people have here is that the India growth story is here to intact. And within that, mid caps and small caps is the best way to play it. I think if you see it in the numbers as well, whether it's GST numbers or anything, I think what clearly stands out is that organized players are taking unorganized players to cleaners. I think the best example of that is always found in the mid and small caps. That's where you can find niche companies, right? And that's where, you know, the market is taking big bet. And there's too much money in the system. There's, you know, so much retail liquidity, so much HNI liquidity, mutual funds, you know, they just keep getting money. So they have to invest somewhere. I think the mid caps and small caps are perfect parking place right now. I take your point though that if the market at index level has to correct, then I think the correction in the broader market can be brutal as well. But so far on the evidence of last 2 weeks, even on the worst of days, the market breadth has not been terrible. So I think in that sense, whether it's overconfidence or something else, we'll find out. But yeah, I mean, there's the outperformance is intact.
Well, now, Anuj, coming to the banking sector. Now, this is one sector which is always seen as a proxy on the economy. In fact, veterans always say that if you are bullish on the economy, then buy banking stocks, and the other way around also. But now, you know, when you look at the first quarter GDP numbers, they show that the economy is not in the best of shape as was thought initially. And that certainly is not good news for the banking sector also. Now, then what explains this kind of confidence that investors seem to have in banking stock? We've seen some huge rally, not just in the top tier banks, but all the way down to small cap banks.
We have, Santosh, and I think a large part of this is mean reversion. You'll remember we had a massive rally post-COVID in Indian market, but that rally was entirely led by IT stocks. The IT index itself has had trebled. Normally, IT index and Bank Nifty sort of try to keep pace with each other. They are the two big indices in the market. I think post-COVID, you had that massive reset of valuation in IT, and banks underperformed because a lot of people thought that banks' balance sheets would go through a very big negative because of COVID. I think what the markets found is that that's not the case. And in fact, a lot of banks have actually repaired their balance sheets. And now that the COVID pandemic is behind us and the disruption is behind us, there is evidence that credit growth is coming back. There's evidence that, whether you look at, the motorcycle sales, or you look at real estate sales, anything that is dependent on credit, you will notice that there's clearly noticeable increase in that. So I think the markets in its wisdom is deciding that perhaps it's time for banks to get their mojo back. If you compare banks with, say, IT over a 2-year period or 3-year period, you will notice that banks are still underperformers. So in that sense, I think it's a bit of a catch-up trade which is on.
Again, a related question here, Anuj. So what does the latest GDP reading mean for stocks like, say, L&T, Siemens and others, which are a play on the revival of the capital cycle in the country?
I think that is intact, Santosh. I think that is intact. I think otherwise you would have seen a big decline in names like Larsen, which was not the case. And I tell you what, 1 quarter here or there, couple of point misses is fine. The larger call that the market's taken on capex is that all these stocks in the capital goods space are in for some kind of a re-rating. I think what we are looking at is perhaps some kind of a move. I don't know if you remember the 2003-07 phase in which the capital goods stocks just went through the
roof. Right, of course.
Right. A new capital goods company was being born literally every 3 months. Yeah. So, of course, a lot of them are not there anymore now. But the point is that big bet is being taken on the economy. And I think even something like BHGL is moving. So it tells you the market is willing to take the bet even on the dogs of the sector. BEL has done well, Larsen & Toubro itself has done so well, ABB has done well. I think so, this sector, my sense is, still looks quite good.
Well, Anuj, a few weeks back you had mentioned that auto stocks were good tactical bets. Now, the supply chain issues are still not fully sorted at this point, and there is, of course, it's balanced by the fact that raw material prices are coming off and there's some relief for margins. But as we head into the festive season, which is typically a strong season for auto companies, what is the sense that you're getting?
I think the tactical rally has played out, Santosh. I mean, hand on heart, even I didn't think the stocks will rally this much. Look at names like Mahindra or Eicher or TVS, Hero. I mean, I expected a rally, but not of this magnitude. But that's what markets do. And that's why it's important to get into, some of these cycles a bit early. You might have to see a bit of a pain, but when the market rewards you, it can be quite big. I think the tactical part is done. What is really going to be interesting is if the kind of numbers that we've started to see can sustain, especially in two-wheelers. Two-wheelers was one pocket where, sales were struggling. But I think this month you've seen some really good numbers from the likes of Eicher Motors and a couple of others as well. I think tractor stocks are making a bit of a comeback. So, truck stocks, passenger vehicles, almost everything. I think if sales start to improve, and if the commodity prices remain benign the way they are, if crude prices come down a bit more, my sense is that this tactical rally could well turn into a bit of a structural play as well.
Well, the other big talking point this week was Reliance Industries planning to enter the FMCG space. Now, what does this mean for the incumbents? And does this in any way change the way the market will be valuing some of these existing FMCG majors in the short term? It's a given that at this point, valuations are quite pricey.
Absolutely, Santosh. I think in any business that Reliance enters, obviously the others, the market is a bit nervous about them, right? The same is the case with Amazon in US, I think Adani as well. So, look, when a big player enters a business, there's always disruption. But I'll tell you one thing. For example, now, of course, this is not strictly a right comparison, but 6 months back, you'll remember when Grasim decided to make an entry into the paint space, and that was closely followed by JSW Steel. You had seen the sharp correction in Asian Paints. What happened after that? The stock's almost back to its all-time highs. My sense is the good FMCG stocks, if they fall because of this, would provide you a good entry opportunity, because it's not easy to sort of just uproot the existing players. And you know, these players have their own sort of moat, and I think it's not easy to sort of just take that away. So I think maybe some impact, but if there is, I think it would be a bit of an entry opportunity.
Well, now let's talk about some individual stocks, Anuj. Many analysts had turned negative on Escorts Kubota after the disappointing first quarter numbers, and suddenly you have the stock at a 52-week high. So what explains this sudden change in sentiment?
The biggest reason is that the open offer is over. Santosh, a lot of good quality investors tendered in open offer. Even late Rakesh Jhunjhunwala actually tendered in open offer for Escorts,
right,
because the open offer was at 2,000 rupees per share. There was this general belief in the market that Japanese normally buy at the peak of the cycle, and you know, whatever price they pay.
We saw that with Ranbaxy.
You remember that, right? So that price never came. So a lot of people thought that this price would never come, and you know, this is it. What people forgot here is, of course, I can say this with benefit of hindsight, right? I mean, you're always wiser. What people forgot is that the space in which it was. It was growing. You know, you could see Mahindra adding a huge amount of tractor sales month after month. And Kubota brings its own Japanese technology. The market is huge. And it's, as of now, still a two-player large market, yeah, organized market. Right. So in that sense, in duopoly, normally both players do well. You know, you would have noticed that with so many companies, so many sectors, that in a duopoly, both players do well. So I think when the supply issue was over, in a sense that almost everyone tendered in the open offer, there was hardly any floating stock. And after that, just a couple of good numbers, and the sector itself has got into a bit of a tailwind. When you have a sectoral tailwind, individual stocks can find out their niche, and that's what Escorts has done.
Hotels has been the other big story of the week, Indian Hotels in particular, which is now at almost an all-time high. Now, what's your take on the stock and the sector in general? Is this space something investors should be keeping on their watch list?
You know, Prantosh, it's impossible to get a room these days. A four-star hotel room is tough to find, you know, in at a good price. The five-star hotels, 15,000-16,000 is the minimum that you have to pay. And these rates are much higher than the pre-COVID levels. And occupancy levels are higher than the pre-COVID levels. I think the human race, you've just kept it under pressure for too long. And now everyone wants to travel. And I think that's what's happening right now. Everyone wants to travel every long weekend, even not a long weekend, even a weekend. For example, try booking a villa at Lonavala over a weekend. You'll hardly find any good options. So I think people are just wanting to travel, just wanting to go out. My sense is that they're still pent up left in hotels, and this is here to stay for some time.
Defense stocks not showing any signs of fatigue yet, but again, prices have run up quite a bit. What's your view there?
You know, Santosh, I frankly find it really hard to fathom the kind of move in names like Hindustan Aeronautics, for example. Because, you know, for long I've been hearing that there's going to be an OFS in the stock. So ahead of that, there's some kind of rally. I think BEL is a horribly expensive stock now. So it's tough to sort of justify valuation of these stocks. But I think the market in its wisdom has decided that perhaps this, in the PSU basket, if there's one sector which perhaps is going to benefit from the government policies, it's the defense. The rest others all have some kind of problem, like oil and gas, banks. But defense perhaps is a space where the government's focus is on. And in terms of indigenous manufacturing, I think that's really helping.
Second last question, Anuj. View on cement stocks. We've seen some good rebound in shares like Shree Cement and Ultratech. Till 2 months back, the sentiment was very different when Ultratech said that it was going to expand capacity. Besides, you also had high raw material prices. Some of those concerns seem to have been allowed. What is the broad view on this sector?
Also, because, you know, Santosh, it's a yearly play. Monsoon's over. And, normally you see cement stocks underperform during the monsoon period and they come back after the monsoon period because, you know, construction activity slows down during monsoon and then picks up post-monsoon. I think if you see again, go by and see the kind of construction activity, the real estate numbers and all, it augurs well for cement. And I think the cement stocks had also underperformed because of Adani's entry, right? Because everyone thought that, okay, there's going to be a bit of an Adani discount to the entire cement pack. But again, the same point, the market is huge. Even if Adani sort of revives both Ambuja and ACC, revives as in takes them back to the level where they were, even then, I think UltraTech, Shree Cement and all, they have enough market. And that's what the market is. If the economy has to revive, if the capital goods, capex stocks have to do well, then honestly, it won't matter whether there are four players or five players, all of them will do well.
Well, last question, what are the key things that we should be keeping an eye out for?
I think the dollar index for starters, I think Santosh, that is for me the most important cue to watch out for, because it's at 110, and 110 is really a level where if it doesn't stop here, then I think there can be some problem for that. The other point would be the jobs data that we'll keep an eye on, because if you have a strong jobs data, then that gives Fed the cushion to sort of continue with rate hikes. So in a bizarre kind of world, if you're a market participant, you want people to be more jobless, you know. You don't want people to have more jobs, because you know, but that's what the market is, right? Market is ruthless. Market doesn't care about anyone else's welfare,
right?
But what it wants from the Fed. So I think the US jobs data will be very important to watch out for. And of course, in September we have the FOMC, so that will be the other major decision. I think it's entirely global.
Thank you, Anuj. That was an enjoyable conversation indeed. And dear listeners, I hope you too enjoyed listening to this. Have a nice weekend. And with that, it's goodbye from all of us here at Money Control.
Thanks a lot to all the listeners. And Santosh, thanks a lot to you as well.
Thank you.